Are your coworkers a little quirky? The oversharer?
Oh my God, I have to tell you.
The close talker?
Did you have a nice weekend?
The person heating fish in the microwave every day? Before you snap, find out how to handle those quirky coworkers on As We Work from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, June 22nd. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. We're targeted by advertisements all the time. And now, artificial intelligence tools, particularly those using generative AI, could make those targeted ads even more powerful. That's according to Snap CEO Evan Spiegel. He spoke about what he learned since Snapchat's recent launch of its AI chatbot and more at the WSJ's Journal House during the Cannes Lions International Festival this week. We'll have highlights from that conversation later in the show. But first, the Federal Trade Commission sued Amazon Wednesday. It alleges the retail giant employed manipulative tactics to enroll millions of users to its Amazon Prime program without the user's consent, and also made it difficult to cancel subscriptions. In its complaint, the FTC accuses Amazon of using so-called dark patterns to dupe consumers. Our reporter Jan Wolf explains.
A dark pattern is a design choice in a website or app that benefits the company, but not necessarily the user, often in a subtle, maybe deceptive way. So an example might be setting a default that you're going to get a product once a month in a recurring way, when maybe you just wanted to buy it once, or making a default that you share your data and then burying way down somewhere that you can opt out. And the FTC has made it a big priority to crack down on these practices, which are really a modern day version of, you know, things we've seen in brick and mortar stores, to different tactics to steer consumers a certain way.
An Amazon spokesman dismissed the FTC's allegations as, quote, false on the facts and the law. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer launched an effort yesterday to write new rules around artificial intelligence. In a speech at a Washington think tank, Schumer called for more federal involvement in maintaining U.S. competitiveness while mitigating AI's potential harms.
The first issue we must tackle is encouraging, not stifling, innovation. But if people don't think innovation can be done safely, that will slow AI's development and prevent us from moving forward. So my safe innovation framework calls for security, accountability, protecting our foundations, and lastly, explainability.
Schumer joins President Biden, tech industry leaders, and other members of Congress in seeking to regulate the technology. Biden also underscored the potential risks in AI at a meeting with tech leaders in San Francisco earlier this week.
In seizing this moment, we need to manage the risks to our society, to our economy, and our national security. My administration is committed to safeguarding America's rights and safety, from protecting privacy to addressing bias and disinformation, to making sure AI systems are safe before they are released.
And there's a new person at the helm of Alibaba, and he's a close ally of co-founder Jack Ma. Zhou Tsai has been named chairman at the Chinese e-commerce company. Tsai is famous for having purchased the Brooklyn Nets. There will also be a new CEO, Eddie Wu. Our reporter Raphael Huang says both Tsai and the incoming CEO are longtime Alibaba folks.
So this reshuffle could also help maintain the influence of Jack Ma. Some people also suggest that Jack Ma is returning to exercise more direct control. Jack Ma recently told some executives of the company that it's very important for Alibaba to adjust its business strategies and governance because it faced fierce competition from rivals. Alibaba is now undergoing a historic corporate restructuring that split the entire business into multiple independent companies. So Zhou's relationship with Jack Ma could give him more heft than the departing chairman for him to navigate different divisions and push along the plan.
Okay, coming up, Snapchat debuted an AI chatbot recently. What did its CEO learn from the new feature since its launch? You'll hear him explain after the break.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Snap is, unsurprisingly, making moves in the artificial intelligence space. In fact, its CEO says Snapchat users' embrace of AI could improve targeted advertising. Evan Spiegel sat down with WSJ reporter Sam Schechner to talk about AI and more at a Journal House event this week during the Cannes Lions International Festival. We're going to play you some highlights from that conversation. But before we do, you should know the chat took place on a windy day, so you may hear some of that in the background.
Thank you, Evan, for being here. I think we got to start with the ad market. It was pretty bleak for a while there. There have been big cuts in the tech sector. Then again, some folks are seeing signs of a turnaround. What are you seeing?
So I think, we're certainly not out of the woods yet, but the economy is more resilient than we expected. For example, in the United States, the consumer is still doing quite well. But businesses are experiencing a lot of cost pressures. I don't think those have abated. And so a lot of our advertising partners are very focused on efficiency, which is why we have been investing so heavily in our performance advertising platform. We've made a lot of changes. For example, improving the way people interact with ads and unifying ad interactions on our platform, improving the post-click experience, for example, and things like autofill, which help with lead generation. Then, of course, rolling out much larger models that use a lot more data to show the right ad to the right person.
All right. So let's dig a little bit into AI. You launched an AI-powered chatbot, My AI, in Snapchat. It's widely available. I mean, you've had some 150 million people interacting with it. Is AI going to restack the tech industry?
I don't know about restack the tech industry. I think the big recent breakthrough with large language models has really changed the interaction paradigm or the user interface for computers and actually made it a lot more natural and easy to use. And I think it's part of that evolution from the command line to the graphical user interface to now conversational AI, which is a totally familiar way to interact with computers. So we're really excited. 150 million people have used My AI since we launched it, I think about 2 months ago. They've sent over 10 billion messages about all sorts of things. I think there's been like 5 million conversations about McDonald's, tens of millions of conversations about cars and recommendations around, what car to buy. So, we're really excited to see that engagement. There's a great story we heard from someone in our community who used My AI to learn how to ask their boss for a raise. So they practiced talking back and forth and ended up getting an extra $5 an hour. So that was, I think, a very helpful way that My AI is helping our community.
Just as an example of how that restacking might happen, Google for a long time has had, in some ways, the inside track on intent signals. Now that you have this window of people are talking about McDonald's, people are talking about cars, does that help even gain a step on search for you?
Yeah, My AI definitely helps provide a privacy-safe intent signal. When people are communicating with My AI, we can then use those insights to help improve recommendations across our platform, whether those are augmented reality experiences or the content people watch, and of course, advertising as well. I think in terms of your question around restacking, I think philosophically, what we're really paying attention to is that a lot of software business models today are predicated on humans using software. Right, and that's typically how people charge for software on a per seat basis. I think what's really fascinating about large language models is that increasingly AI is going to use software on your behalf. And I think that'll create a lot of opportunities in software, but it also could be quite disruptive for business models that are predicated on humans using software a lot.
So then what's your view of the collective psyche from what people have been chatting about? I mean, beyond just, talking about McDonald's, like what kinds of conversations are people getting into with your tool?
Yeah, I think a lot of times people are using it as a creative tool. So, for example, I had to give a speech at Miranda's cousin's wedding. And on the way to the wedding, I took the speech I drafted and I dropped it into My AI, asked for some feedback and recommendations, had some great ones. I asked it to integrate those recommendations and rewrite it for me and then sent it back to me. And I was able to make a couple tweaks to, make it a little bit more my own. But I actually really valued the feedback I got. So I think as a creative tool and a way to get inspiration, it's very helpful.
Your choice to put a chatbot in the hands of, say, a 13-year-old old enough to sign up for a social media service has been controversial. How do you handle that?
I think first and foremost, we started by rolling out to a very, very small audience, just of Snapchat Plus subscribers. And we used that as an opportunity to learn about how the chatbot was working and when it was breaking. And that's how we, you know, started incorporating things like age signals. So letting the chatbot know the age of the person that they're communicating with to provide a more age-appropriate experience. We also created things like a timeout, for example. So if we see people, you know, misusing our service, the chatbot stops responding to them. And all that's possible because we store all the communications that people have with our AI chatbot, so we can monitor them to make sure that the responses conform with our guidelines. And what we found is that more than 99.5% of all of my AI responses conform with our community guidelines. And in fact, anecdotally, when we look at the way that our community is, you know, communicating with my AI, we find that people are the ones who are saying much more inappropriate things than the chatbot itself.
All right. Well, Evan, thank you so much for being here today. It's been a really interesting conversation.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for listening.